The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for launch.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow.
Pressurizing.
Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future.
Fuel.
Nominal.
And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Nominal.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came, into logbook.com's escape pod.
November 26th.
The Logbook.com's Escape Pod is charting a course through geek history. I'm Earl Green, and it's time for another look at the factual, the far out, and the foundations of the future. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1985, Space Shuttle Atlantis took off for a week in space that would affect everything that came after it.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, we have a go for main engine start. We have main engine start. 4, 3, 2, 1-0, and liftoff of the space shuttle, and it has cleared the tower.
Roger, roll, Atlantis.
The crew launched three satellites and then practiced orbital construction techniques of vital importance to any space station plans in America's future. In 1989, another step on the road to the International Space Station was taken by the Soviet Union with the launch of the third module of space station Mir. The Kvant module included living space, life support gear, water and bathing facilities, and an airlock to make spacewalks outside the station more practical. And in 2011, NASA launched its biggest Mars rover yet toward the Red Planet.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Main engine start, 0. And liftoff of the Atlas V with Curiosity, seeking clues to the planetary puzzle about life on Mars.
The Mars Science Laboratory, nicknamed Curiosity, left Earth aboard an Atlas V rocket. It would arrive at Mars in 2012, landing flawlessly with the help of a descent module called the Sky Crane, which had never been tested before this flight. Influential science fiction author Frederick Pohl was born today in 1919. His published work spanned seven decades. Cosmonaut Boris Yegorov, part of the Voskhod 1 crew, was born in 1937. On this day in 1977, during the 5 o'clock news on ITV in southern regions of the UK, well, this happened.
But, he says, there are conditions. These include stopping the execution of prisoners of war, allowing Gerovia to take negotiations, arrested. In Australia, Mr. Kerry Packer's cricketers are still pleading by yesterday's High Court decision, which didn't ban on them playing in test matches.
This is the voice of Omar, representative of the Ashtar Galactic Commander, speaking to you. For many years, you have seen us as knights and sparrows. We speak to you now to say the same as we have done to your brothers and sisters all over this, your planet Earth.
Though it's generally believed to be an example of a hoax carried out by overriding a UHF transmitter, the voice of Vrilon is a favorite story of UFO enthusiasts, and no one has ever come forward to admit to it. In 1978, the Battlestar Pegasus revealed itself to the crew of Battlestar Galactica.
You will maintain silence until we land aboard the Battlestar Pegasus.
A Pegasus? But that's just not possible.
Think of the impression on the city of Gamorre when they learned that I personally led the final assault on the humans.
Commander, I'm not picking up anything on my scanner.
You won't find them on your scanner, Captain.
Then how are we...
I can feel them, Captain. I can feel them.
We must take that base. We must take Gamorre.
That is one opinion, Commander. It does not happen to be mine.
And in 1993, to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Doctor Who, the BBC premiered its star-studded but almost incomprehensible 3D skit, Dimensions in Time.
Mayday! Mayday!
This is an urgent message for all of the doctors. It's vitally important that you listen carefully to me, for once. Our whole existence is being threatened by a renegade Time Lord known only as the Rani. She hates me. She even hates children. Two of my earlier selves have already been snared in her vicious trap. The grumpy one and the flautist, do you remember them? She wants to put us out of action, lock us away in a dreary backwater of London's East End, trapped in a time loop in perpetuity. Her evil is all around us. I can hear the heartbeat of a killer. She's out there somewhere. We must be on our guard and we must stop her before she destroys all of my other selves. Oh. Good luck, my dears.
Featuring every doctor from John Pertwee through Sylvester McCoy, and featuring the only instance on television of the sixth doctor meeting the Brigadier, Dimensions in Time was a crossover with the soap opera EastEnders that added very little to the story of either show. Doctor Who had been off the air as a series since 1989, and a serious attempt to return it to television wouldn't happen until 1996. You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. The book Vorp 1 is available now, thelogbook.com's 396-page guide to Doctor Who on TV from 1963 through 2011, cross-referencing old episodes and new, and catching you up on the mythology of the longest-running science fiction series in TV history. You can pick up other original books and DVDs and hundreds of other titles in thelogbook.com store anytime. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
The escape pod was written and produced by Earl Cain.
Pickled in time, like gherkins in a jar.
Mistress Rani, the time tunnel is ready to receive its first guests.
Proceed.